ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंताम वंदे गुरु परंपराम श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम नमो भगवते श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति स्वरूपाय श्री दयानंद रूपाय परम गुरवे परमात्मने ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम सी इन बृहदारण्यक उपनिषद यू नो वेरी वेल नाउ आई रिपीटेड मेनी टाइम्स इन माय प्रीवियस क्लासेस दैट This Upanishad belongs to Shukla Yajurveda. And this is a Brahmana Upanishad. The Upanishad, the mantras of which are in prose form. And we also have Mantra Upanishad, which is a small Upanishad in verse form, which is Ishavasi Upanishad. Always it is said that Mantra Upanishad is an Upanishad which the mantras of which present the teaching in a nutshell, and Brahmana Upanishad is an elaboration of the Mantra Upanishad content. So here the Shanti Pataha, the Purna Madha, wherein we saw the teaching very clearly. The essence of the teaching of the Upanishads is given in a nutshell in the very Shanti Pataha, that there is only Satyam. What is the final conclusion that you arrive at by understanding the Shanti Mantra, Purna Madha, all that is there is only the reality. And that reality you arrive at in terms of its nature of knowledge, and thereby you understand the nature of reality, the reality obtaining in the form of not pure knowledge is actually in the form of the existence of everything that is here, and therefore the same and the reality is of the nature of limitlessness. I'm repeating my sentence. All that is here is only the reality or the truth. which is arrived at in terms of its nature of knowledge. And which is in the form of the existence of everything here, which is of the nature of limitlessness. So in the very first opening sentence of the mantra, Purnamadha Purnamidam, in the Mahavakyam, when you understand the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge as the nature of the individual, and when it is equated to Ishvara, and you say that knowledge, the reality obtaining in the form of the knowledge as the truth of the individual is there in the form of existence, the truth of the universe. Therefore, all that is here is only, the second sentence says, is only manifestation of that only truth. When you say this Purna Purnam, Purnamadha Purnamidam, Purna Purnam Udachyate, everything that is here is manifestation of that only knowledge. And in every form and name, we remove the form and name, what is there is only the truth. So final meaning is, what all that is there is only the reality. This is the final concluded meaning of the Purnamadha Purnamidam. There's no real I, there's no real this. Absolutely, what is there is only the truth. And we who study the Upanishad are supposed to have the clear, doubt-free vision of this fact, that all that is, there is only the truth, wherein we have to cognitively resolve not only the individuality, but also the plurality and the duality. Therefore, we have to see beyond our perception that all that is, there is only the truth. And for which, I said, in the very beginning, the first chapter of this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which comes under this first section, first portion called Upadesha Kandaha, there's a big analysis is presented. And I said, in the first two chapters which form this Upadesha Kandaha, the first portion called Upadesha Kandaha consists of two chapters. And the first chapter, the whole of first chapter discusses only Adhyaropaha. And the second chapter discusses the Apavadaha. Therefore, Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya is used here. Between you cannot see Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya there. But you have to understand, oh, why Upanishad is teaching in this way, in this manner. The very teaching is presented because Upanishad using that prakriya. And as you know very well, now all of you heard many times, Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya means the method of the method of unfoldment of the truth through the analysis of the creation, wherein there is superimposition and negation, both steps are involved. See, aropaha itself means what? Climb, no? Always placing something upon something is called aropaha. Yetrudal. So, adhyaropaha means superimposition. Means, you give, you add certain value to certain thing. So, therefore, this entire objective universe, including one's body, mind, sense complex. Now I can tell you people, because you're all exposed to the teaching very well, whenever I say objective universe, I can very comfortably include our body, mind, sense complex also in the objective universe. If a beginner comes, for a beginner, if I tell, no, I'm including the one's individual body, mind, sense complex in the objective universe, they'll be confusing for them. They can't understand. When I say objective universe, including one's body, mind, sense complex, is Jagat. We say, and this Jagat, which is experienced by us, which is available for objectification, perception, enjoyment, which also the perception of which results in the experience of pairs of opposites in terms of likes and dislikes, ragadveshas. So this Jagat is very much real for us. We cannot say this Jagat is unreal, or nor can we say Jagat is unreal. We say Jagat is unreal, we are saying Jagat is non-existent. We can never say Jagat is non-existent because Jagat is existent. Jagat exists. Therefore it is real. But how real it is? It is relatively real, empirically real. But we never look at this universe as empirically, relatively, objectively real. We look at this universe as absolutely real universe. Even though now we understand, because we are studying Shastram, this the objective universe is empirically real, relatively real, objectively real. But we don't simply look at it as something which is objectively, empirically, relatively real. We look at it as something absolutely real. This is our perception of the universe. Therefore, Upanishad also accepts this universe, joining hands with us, seeing the universe from our standpoint. Upanishad also accepts the universe as real. This Upanishad's acceptance of this universe as real is called Adhyaropaha. And I explained last class why Upanishad accepts this universe as real. Whenever our Suppose Upanishad straight away directly tells us, no, this universe is not real. It is as though real. It is only mithya. Upanishad is the very first class. Then that means Upanishad will be denying our perception and our experience. I tell you, if somebody denies your perception and experience, you will feel very, very hurt and offended. Because what is in your perception is very real for you. And when your perception is denied, if your perception is not accepted, or no, it will cause a great pain. Denying one's perception will result in pain and hurt. Therefore, Upanishad does not want to cause any hurt, offend the feelings of the student, or generally people in general. Then Upanishad accepts the existence of universe and accepts this universe as real. From our standpoint, and this acceptance of universe as real is called what? Adhyaropaha. Later on, it is going to negate this universe, which is called Apavadaha. But when the Upanishad presents this acceptance of universe as real, as Adhyaropaha, in different Upanishads, the Adhyaropaha is discussed, presented in different ways. Which means, when you say the universe is real, when you say, then you have to talk about the creation of the world. Where has this universe come from? You definitely have to talk about the creation of the universe. Therefore, in Taittiriya Upanishad, how it is presented, there, in the Upanishad uses the Adhyaropapavada Prakriya. When Upanishad talks about the creation of the universe, and even though creation is not the criteria, but still Upanishad talks about the creation of the universe, and there Upanishad present says that there was Brahman, which is Atma, and from that Brahman, the Atma, first came the air, space, then came air, then came the fire, you know, like the rest of Srishti is discussed. The creation of the universe is discussed. And that is how in Taittiriyam, Adhyaropa is presented. Whereas, in Brihadaranyakam Upanishad, the Adhyaropa is not presented in the form of analysis of the creation. Creation of the universe is not taken as subject matter here. Upanishad being real, accepting this universe as real, or existence of the universe, is presented in a different form, different way. How is it presented here? It talks about the karma and karma phalam. And because Brihadaranyakam students are supposed to be very mature and already exposed students, not the beginners, Upanishad straight away introduces the Upasanam. When Upasanam is discussed, what is Upasanam? It's a manasam karma, mental activity. And Upasanam can be an independent Upasanam, Swatantra Upasanam, or it can be Karmanga Upasanam. We have two types of meditations. One is Swatantra Upasanam, which is independently practiced meditation, not as a part of the performance of a ritual. Whereas there's other meditations, they prescribed in the Shastram as part of the performance of a ritual called Karma Anga Upasanam, Karmanga Upasanam. Whatever is the meditation, and the meditation, there's a result of meditation also. And the result of meditation, Upasanam, definitely is within the realm of Artha Kama Dharmas only. What is the benefit of the practicing the meditation? What is the fruit of practicing the meditation? Whichever meditation a person practices, the Vaidika Upasanam prescribed in the Veda Shastram, and what is the highest of the benefit one can have as a result of practicing meditation? Definitely, it is not jnanam, it is not mokshaha. The result of meditation is not knowledge or the moksha. Therefore, any other than knowledge and moksha, whatever your result, a benefit you enjoy as a result of the practicing meditation, is only within the realm of Artha Kama Dharma, within the realm of material ends. When I say the result is within the realm of the material ends, it is time bound in nature. This is how Adhyaropaha is presented in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And as I made very clear also in the, I think the two, three, maybe the previous class was not okay. Before that, I made very clear, meditation practiced before the attainment of knowledge is not for the attainment of knowledge. is only for preparing the mind for the attainment of knowledge. And sometimes, not even for preparing the mind for the attainment of knowledge, but here it is meditation is practiced exclusively for the accomplishment of attaining certain specific material ends. And here, in the very first chapter, the opening itself, Upanishad discusses an upasanam called Ashva Upasanam. Ashvaha means horse. Akarantaha pullingaha ashva shabdaha. Ashvaha means horse. So Ashva Upasanam means what? Ashva Upasanam means it's not that we are meditating upon the horse, is not an object of meditation, but actual object of meditation is Virat. You know very well, always Virat or Hiranyagarbha must be the object of meditation. And Virat or Hiranyagarbha happens to be the whole. It is not comprehensible for the mind, which is part of the whole. Virat is not comprehensible. Even Hiranyagarbha is not comprehensible, because Ishvara means the whole. Therefore, we always need an alambanam. Why do we have an alambanam? A symbol which stands for Ishvaraha, the whole. So in Vedic vision, Ishvaraha Bhagavan means the whole. Universe in its entirety is Ishvara. So if we look at this Virat. So Virat also is a name given to Ishvara, the Lord. What is Lord? The one who is shining in innumerable countless forms is called Virat. And what is the meaning we saw? Virat means vividham, vividham, rajate iti Virat. Rajate means shines. Rajate is atmane padam. Rajate, vilangugirathu, shines. So vividham rajate iti Virat. Vividham rajate means what? That which alone shines as innumerable countless forms. The only truth which is shining as everything is called Virat. Therefore, the whole cosmos, the entire gross manifestation, the gross universe, we don't look at the gross universe as just a gross, material, inert, you know, bundle of energy. The whole entire gross manifestation is looked upon as manifestation of knowledge, which is Ishvara, Virat. When you use the term Ishvaraha, you look at everything as manifestation of knowledge, not as but inert bundle of energy. The term Ishvara, if you use, you already look at everything as Jnanam. What is this Jagat? Jnanam, knowledge. The whole Jagat is Jnanam, is manifestation of knowledge, means you look at it as Ishvara. So the only truth alone is manifest as the whole, the entire gross manifestation, gross universe is. Then Ishvara means you give a different name, Virat. That the one who shines as everything, the one who shines in manifold forms, that which shines as many things, is called Virat. Therefore, Ishvara is always our. On the name Ishvara you give, then you call Sagunam Brahma. Ishvara otherwise called Sagunam Brahma. Reality manifest as manifold forms, indicated by manifold names, involved in serving manifold purposes is called what? Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha. Always in Upasanam, the Upasya Vishayaha, the object of meditation is Ishwaraha, the Lord. That you know very well. That is why when we define Upasanam, what do we say? Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. The mental activity for which the object is the Lord. Lord in the form of the universe. Lord in the form of the universe. Saguna Brahma. Therefore, here also, our object of meditation is Virat, but we use, because the universe is the whole, and this mind which is supposed to dwell upon this, the whole, Ishvara, happens to be part of the whole. The whole is incomprehensible. Therefore, we have an alambanam. This is an answer for all the people. If they ask, why do we have murtis in Hinduism? We are not idol. You know, people say, why do you worship idols? We are not worshipping idols. We are worshipping Bhagavan only. But we have alambanam. Okay, alambanam. And here, horse, ashwaha is taken as an alambanam. Therefore, Bhagavan is not the horse. But the horse is Bhagavan. Therefore, horse is taken here. And as in this particular upasanam, as I said, it's a karmanga upasanam. Ashva upasanam is a karmanga upasanam. It is a meditation practiced as a part of the performance of the biggest of the Vedic rituals called Ashvamedha Yagaha. I told you Ashvamedha Yagaha involves a lot of expenditure. Therefore, those days only richest people or the kings, you know, used to perform this ritual. But we are not talking about those things now, but here only talking about the Upasanam. And this particular ritual is supposed to be performed by only Kshatriyas. Not by other people. Therefore, if a non-Kshatriya, in terms of a Brahmana, wanted to practice this meditation without performing the ritual, he can merely practice this meditation. Then for a non-Kshatriya, this Ashva Upasanam is an independent Swatantra Upasanam. For Kshatriya, it is a Karmanga Upasanam. And because Virat happens to be the Vishaya, Upasya, Vishayaha, Upasya Devata, Upasyaha, so we also call it Virat Upasanam. We can call it Ashva Upasanam or Virat Upasanam or Ashva Virat Upasanam. So, if you take the hearts, so the hearts has many parts, and each part of the hearts is seen as one aspect of, a given aspect of the Lord, the whole. How you see the head, how you see the back, how you see this, each part of the hearts, looked upon as one aspect of the Lord, the whole. In fact, Sureshwar Acharya says that hearts also you don't see it outside, that each part of the heart you see in your own self. He is going to say it differently. So that is how the Upanishad presents. Now let us go get into the verse. When we start seeing this upasanam, now the ashvas, And actually, we should forget why Upasanam is discussed. Because Upasanam is a means, and Upasanam is going to produce a result, which is an end. So, this means and ends, Karana Karyam, Sadhana Sadhyam, is equal to universe. What is universe stands for? What now? Here, this we accept this sadhanam, the performance of ritual, whether it is a Vedic ritual or it is a worldly act, mundane activity, secular activity or sacred ritual, religious or mundane, all forms of actions, all forms of performances are all means. And the results of actions are what now? Ends. So means and the ends, actions and the results constitute, stand for the universe. When you perform this, for us, the performance of ritual is very real. The meditation is very real. And the result of meditation is very, very real. Any action we do is very real. The result of action is very real. Which means very real. Only then we do it very enthusiastically. Therefore, there's a strong doership, a strong enjoyership. I am the performer. I'm going to perform this. I'm going to enjoy this particular benefit. I'm going to have this result. When these are strong notions are there, only then you can perform the ritual, perform any action. Therefore, the actions and the results, performances of rituals or practice of meditations or even performance of any worldly activities and the results are what? Means and the ends. Sadhanani, sadhyani stand for what? Universe. So the whole universe, means and ends stand for the universe. Therefore, here the means to accomplish the ends, means to accomplish the ends, and the ends accomplished by the means together stand for the universe. Therefore, and the Upanishad's acceptance of universe as real is what? Adhyaropaha. So Upanishad's acceptance of the means, the practice of meditation, performance of ritual, and the results accomplished through those rituals and the Upasanam are all taken to be real here. Therefore, Upanishad presents the Adhyaropa, the acceptance of the universe as real, in a different way of presenting the means and the ends. Not like in Taittiriyam. It doesn't talk about the universe, creation of the universe. That is why I took so long. Okay? How Adhyaropaha? Okay. Let us see the mantra now. Reading the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad mantras is a big punya karma. No way. Definitely these are mantras revealed to the rishis. Even though we are not interested in upasanam, not interested in the upasana phalam, but is part of our arriving at Brahman, the truth. How Upanishad beautifully takes us to the truth. Let us enjoy it, being with it. Without any resistance. And one more thing I want to tell you. This Upasanam prescribed in the Upanishad is not presented with an expectation of making us practice this meditation. Because it is discussed in the Upanishad portion. When the meditation associated with the samkarma or ritual called Ashwamedha Yaga, simply mentioned in the Upanishad. Therefore, it is not that we should practice this meditation. It is for us to understand the limitation of the result of meditation. So, we need not practice it. Just we understand it. Om. Ushava Ashvasya Medhyasya Shiraha ushava ashvasya medhyasya shiraha. So ashvasya shiraha, I'm sure with our limited Sanskrit knowledge, all of you know the meaning of this one sentence. The ashvasya shiraha. Isn't it? Like kindergarten children, this is my head, this is my nose. You know, like you all can remember now. Mama shiraha, ashvasya shiraha. Shiraha is a shiras, sakarantaha, napumsakalinga shabdaha, neutral gender word. Shiraha, head. For Sanskrit students, I'm giving some extra tips, okay? No, ashvasya shiraha. So, head of the hearts. Head of the hearts stands for or is taken for what now? Usha. Usha means ushas. Sakaranta strilinga shabda. Ushas means dawn, early in the morning. Dawn is Usha, Ushat Kalaha. Usha, feminine gender word. So dawn, what is dawn? Dawn is part of Virat. Now, see, you are made to see the beauty. Whenever you get up early in the morning, if you happen to see the dawn, and have you ever thought Usha is Bhagavan? Dawn is Bhagavan. Look at the dawn as dawn, that's all. Or maximum you can say, oh, it's the beauty of the nature. You never relate to the dawn as Ishvara. This is how Upanishad trains your mind. Usha. What is Usha? Virat. Okay. Virat is not Usha, but Usha is Virat. And this dawn, and then head is what? Head is the foremost of the parts of any human being or an animal. Head is what now? Uttamangaha. Isn't it? It's the most important is the head. Of course, every part is important. Head is the, because head is something important, isn't it? Therefore, you say head is likened to what? What is the big opening of the day? Dawn. The dawn is the opening of the day. And then therefore that dawn, you look at this, see the hearts, head of the hearts, and see that you see that as what? You meditate upon dawn. See, visualize the dawn. When you see the head, visualize dawn as the head of the head as the dawn of Bhagavan. Medhyasya shiraha usha stands for usha. But Upanishad makes it very clear, which heart should I take for meditation here? Any hearts grazing anywhere? Definitely not. Are the horses which are, no, people take for, go and pay money, bet them for the races? No. This is not that horse. This is a very sacred horse. Well, because Medhyaha Ashwaha. Medhyaha means, Shankara Bhagavad Pada says, Puja Arhaha. Pujarhaha Ashwaha. The hearts which deserves worship and which has been purified, sanctified with the chants of mantras and also bathed in the water, sanctified water. This is Usha. So, Medhyasya Ashwasya Shiraha Usha. Okay, next. Suryas Chakshuhu. And you see the eye of the hearts, the eye of the hearts stands for the sun. Look at the eye of the hearts as the sun. See the head as Usha. You go from head then to the eye set afterwards. Suryaha Chakshuhu. Vatav Pranaha. The prana has a breath. And breath of, there's a breath. How this Ashwaha is a living, animate being. Therefore, there's always breathing. And the breathing of the hearts, the breath of the hearts, is what? Stands for the Vayuhu. Vataha is another word for Vayuhu, air. So, So Sun is Virat, Bhagavan. Now Vayu is Bhagavan. And that, when you see these hearts, you see the breadth of the hearts as Vayu. And in fact, Suresh has just going to teach us differently. See that heart's what? In you. See your own breath as Vayu. See your own eye as what? The sun. See your own head as what? Usha. He's going to tell us different later on. Understand first here. Okay. Then, Vyatam Agnir Vaishwanaraha. Vyatam Agnir Vaishwanaraha. Vyatam means Mukham. Vivritam Mukham. Mukham means what? Mukham literally means face. But here Mukham means mouth. Mouth of the hearts. When you see the mouth of the hearts, and that mouth of the heart stands for what? Agnir Vaishwanaraha. See here, be very careful. All the time, everywhere, you understood this Vaishwanara as what? As a digestive fire. Vaishwanaraha, Agnihi means Agnihi Vaishwanaraha, or even Vaishwanara itself means what? Jatara Agni, digestive fire. But here, the word Agnihi Vaishwanaraha, the special, some sacred fire. It doesn't mean digestive fire. Literally, it means digestive fire, but here, the word Vaishwanaraha does not mean digestive fire. Some sacred, Shankara says, Agni Viseshanam. Some sacred fire, he calls it. So fire element in general. So Vyatam Mukham. So when you see the mouth of the hearts, they're very difficult. Upanishad is highly imaginative. Look at the mouth of the hearts and see that the mouth is what? Agni Devata. Agnihi Vaishwanaraha. So Vaishwanara is Virat, Bhagavan. And you see that Mukham, it will be very difficult for you to go and see the whole fire. But still see this mouth and visualize what? Fire element. Agnihi Vaishwanaraha, one word. In fact, Vagindriya Devata is fire. Isn't it? Okay. Samvatsaraha Atma Ashvasya Medhyasya. So Medhyasya Ashvasya Atma Samvatsaraha. Medhyasya Ashvasya Atma Samvatsaraha. Here the word Atma means the body. The whole physical form of the hearts. You have to be very careful. The word Atma does not mean the reality. Here the word Atma does not mean the self. Here the word Atma stands for the whole physical form of the hearts, the whole form, body, the body of the hearts. The whole form stands for what now? Samvatsaraha. Samvatsaraha means year. A time. No, 1 year. Samvatsaraha means year, 12 months. A time consisting of 12 months or 52 weeks. 365 days is what? 1 year. Samvatsaraha. So, that year has gone, this year has come, this year is now, is there? This time factor, obtaining in the form of a year, some measure, time measure, even that is looked upon as Virat Ishwara. Kala Devata, is it? Looked upon as Ishwara. Therefore, and where is that? When you see the body of the hearts, you look at, visualize it as what? Samvatsaraha. Okay. Dyauhu Prushtam. Dyauhu literally means heaven. And here, Shankar Bhagavatpada uses the word of plural word. Heavens. Why heavens? Hey, there are so many higher worlds. Each, we can say heavens only. Therefore, Dyauhu, heaven. And this what is it which here? When you see the back of the heaven is said to be what now? Above. Understand? Relatively, it's above this world of mortals, Bhuloka. Therefore, Prishtam means back. Prishtam, back of the hearts. Look at the Prishtam is what? Back of the hearts. Look at the back of the hearts. And there you see what? See that as Dyauhu heaven. So heaven also, even though heaven is unknown world, non-verifiable matter for belief. We do not know whether heaven exists or does not exist. But still we accept the idea of heaven because Shastram talks about it. And even though Shastram talks about it, we know it is within the realm of material world. Time-bound ends. Therefore, as a person of Purusharth Nischaya, Upanishad student, we are not really interested in attaining heaven. Okay? But still, heaven is discussed here. So, Dyauhu Prishtam. So, Dyauhu also is within the realm of time-bound material ends, which is called universe. Dyauhu heaven. Heaven is what now? Virat, part of Virat only. Therefore, we don't know Virat. If we don't know heaven, but still heaven. And when you look at the Prishtam of the hearts, you don't need to go to heaven. Just look at the hearts and see the back of the hearts and see it as what? This stands for heaven. Bhagavan, who is in the form of heaven, the Virat Ishwara, who alone is in the form of the heavens also, unknown worlds also, unknown world is what now? You can see, he see here when you see the back of the hearts. Prishtam. Antariksham udaram. Antariksham. So, antariksham is actually intermediary space or sky. Udaram. When you see the stomach of the hearts, udaram means stomach. So, antariksham, the intermediary space, or you can say the sky, is Virat. Sky is Virat, Bhagavan. When you say Virat, sky is Bhagavan for us. That is why when you don't need to go in search of Bhagavan anywhere. Everything it is here is only Bhagavan. The sky is Bhagavan. And when you see these hearts and how big is sky, how big is intermediary space, my God, incomprehensible. That is why look at these hearts and see the stomach of the hearts. Where there is space, isn't it? Therefore, see that heart, stomach, and see that heart as was stomach of the hearts, udaram, ashvasya udaram. See the stomach of the hearts as what? Bhagavan in the form of space, sky, at least sky, or intermediary space. Then, prithivi. Prithivi. Prithivi is earth. Mother earth. We talk so much. Even this earth, we only know the meaning of the word earth. But can we comprehend the idea of earth in its complete sense? Isn't it? We don't know. Earth means earth includes the earth in its entirety. Earth in all the worlds. Very difficult. If I see the Australian earth in one small earth and then I don't see the earth there in UK, earth in India, my God. Earth itself, one element itself is what? So big, incomprehensible. Therefore, but at least we understand what earth is. Therefore, that earth is Virat. Bhagavan is what? The very earth. And see that Prithivi, where? Here, Pajasyam. Pajasyam means hoof of the horse. Hoof. Now the legs, we have hoof, the hard part. I don't want to use a Tamil word, you know. In Tamil, this, the kurambu means two, you have two meanings, isn't it? Hoof also is kurambu, our curry also is kurambu. So you get confused. So better, luckily other people are safe. That is why you didn't want to use the word, okay? Hoof is better. Prithivi pajasyam, the hoof, the hard portion. Then, when you look at the hoof of the hearts, if you think of Bhagavan in the form of earth, then Dishaha Parshve. See, Parshvam means side. Parshve means two sides of the hearts. The heart has two sides, and both the sides of the hearts stand for what? Dishaha. All main directions, south, east, west, north. So all the directions are Virat, Bhagavan. East is Virat, west is Virat, south is Virat, north is Virat. All these are Bhagavan. And you see, when you see these two sides of the, both sides of the hearts, Parshve, you see it as what? Directions, and which are Virat. Dishaha Parshve, then Avantara Dishaha. Avantara Dishaha means intermediary quarters. Avantara Dishaha, intermediary quarters. Like northeast, northwest, southwest, southeast, the intermediary quarters. Avantara Dishaha. Even there also Virat. Look at these directions, also Bhagavan. Therefore, and they are symbolized by what? Parshavaha. Parshavaha means, Parshuhu means a rib. Parshavaha, ribs. You know, the ribs of the hearts. The Parshavaha stand for intermediary quarters. Then Ritavaha. Ritavaha. Rituhu singular. Rituhu Ritu Ritavaha. Ritavaha means seasons. All the seasons. Summer, winter, spring, autumn. The seasons are Ritavaha. So there are Angani. Angani means limbs. There are certain, some parts of the hearts which are not mentioned. And those limbs which are not yet mentioned, they symbolize the seasons. You may think, what is this, Abhish? Why should you think of, see, the hearts is limbs as, you know, seasons? That is why you need a Vedic buddhi also. First of all, you understand, you see the seasons as Bhagavan, and even one season you cannot comprehend. Summer means what? You only know what, how hot it is or how cold it is. But season, something amazing. Is this a one phenomenon which is manifestation of knowledge, which is Virat? Therefore, you look at all the four seasons are Bhagavan, and you look at what? When you see the ribs of the hearts stand for those, the limbs of the hearts which have not yet been mentioned until now, they stand for the seasons. Ritavaha Angani. Masaha cha ardhamasaha cha masascha ardhamasascha masaha months masaha maso masaha masaha 1 month masaha many months masaha months and ardhamasaha means half month means what? Pakshaha. This is fortnight. months and fortnights. Months and fortnights, pakshas. Krishna paksha, Shukla paksha, you talk about bright fortnight, dark fortnight. So, months and fortnights are what? Parvani. Parvani. You know, when you see the joints, even the horse also has legs, now all the four legs. And there you find the joints. The joints, you find the legs of the horse are called what? Parvani. Parvani means joints. And joints, you find in the horse, they symbolize the months and fortnights. Masascha, ardhamasascha, parvani. Then, ahoratrani. Ahoratrani means, ahaha means day, ratri means night. Ahoratrani means days and night. Days and nights. In, it's a plural word. Ahaha, day. Ratrihi, night. Ahoratrani, days and nights. All the days and nights which come, no? They are symbolized by what now? Pratishtaha. Pratishtaha means legs. Even though the word pratishtaha does not literally mean legs. Pratishtha means the support. Devi's name is Pratishtha. Okay? Bhagavan is Pratishtha means support. The Adhara, the substratum, the existence of Pratishtha. And here, the legs alone support the horse's body. When the body stands, on which the horse's body stand, support? Legs, no? Therefore, here the word Pratishtaha means what? Legs of the horse. When you see these four legs of the four Pratishtaha, the legs which are support for the body, those legs stand for what now? Ahoratrani, days and nights. Now when you see the day, you don't look at the day as just the day. Learn to see the day as Virat. Night is Virat, Bhagavan. Okay. Nakshatrani, Asthini. Nakshatrani. We see what now? Up above the world so high, isn't it? Like a diamond in the sky, so many stars. But all those stars, countless. We don't know how many stars are there, how big they are, nothing. But still we know the word star, nakshatram. There's so many stars, nakshatrani. And you cannot, every star is Bhagavan, all the stars are Virat. And the nakshatrani, here now you see the asthini. Asthi, singular bone. Asthini, bones. And you see the bones. See these bones of the hearts as what? These innumerable stars. Which are Virat. So when you're seeing the Virat, you are seeing each phenomenon as Bhagavan. And you see that in these one hearts. You are seeing the whole in one small little creature. I'll come to the point. Then nabha mamsani. Nabhas means space. Nabha literally means sky. And here, like already we have mentioned the sky. Nabhas here means space. I said intermediary space. Space between the world and the higher worlds. Intermediary space or sky, I said. But now nabha means space in general. Space, akasha. You are learning a new word for akashaha, nabas, nabaha. So this, what is space? My God, again space, or we don't know where the space begins, where it ends. Space is all pervasive. one element space itself we cannot comprehend. Our mind is too small to comprehend even one element space. Therefore, and the space is Virat. Bhagavan is the form of Virat. This space also is manifestation of that reality. Therefore, it's Virat. And now you see the space as what? Mamsani. Mamsani, mamsam, flesh. Because in plural word, we call it muscles, isn't it? So the nabhas, when you see the muscles of the hearts, you look at the muscles of the hearts as what? The space element. Okay, next. Uvadhyam sikataha. Uvadhyam sikataha. Uvadhyam means the heart has eaten the food, and the food eaten by the heart, which is still remaining in the stomach undigested, is called uvadhyam. Okay, the grass and water feed, the heart's feed, whatever food the heart has eaten, and it is still remaining undigested in the stomach, undigested food, okay, in the stomach is called uvadhyam. And that uvadhyam in the stomach of the hearts stands for what? Sikataha. Sikataha means sand. So you also learn a lot of Sanskrit words now. Sikataha, sand. And sand is different from clay. Sand is different from ordinary soil. Sand you find only the seashore, beach or river beds, which is very much used in constructing buildings, isn't it? With the cement. So sand, sikataha. So sand, have you ever seen sand as Bhagavan? Sand is Virat. That is why in India, when people build houses, before those days, okay, there's one particular temple in India called Bhuvaraha Swami. Bhuvaraha means Bhagavan came as a Varaha avatar, born. And he brought Mahalakshmi, no, this earth, the form of Mahalakshmi. Bhuvaraha Swami, Varaha avatar, the born. And people, even today, when they believe, they go to this Bhuvaraha Swami temple, and they take one, at least one brick, or they take some sand, and they take it and put it there in front of Bhagavan, do the puja, and get it as prasadam, bring it back, then only they start house construction in India. Is that? And in Chennai, there's one, I think all over the temple must be there. At least they worship Bhuvaraha Swami, then they will start the construction work. The culture is there. There's one temple near Chennai. And they go. Anyway, why I want to say Sikataha, that's the idea. We never look at even the sand as something. The way when you know, sand is one of the manifestations of Bhagavan. Virat. And the sand is what? Well, how do you see? Uvadhyam. Undigested. See the undigested food in the stomach of the hearts as the sikataha. Sand. Sindhavaha gudaha. Sindhu literally means ocean. Sindhu also means river. Sindhavaha plural. Sindhu, Sindhu, Sindhavaha. Sindhavaha rivers. Every river is Virat, Bhagavan. That is why in India all the rivers are dirty, because they go and worship and pray, because they look at this Bhagavan. You do a lot of puja and they make it dirty also. Anyway, it's a cultural problem. It's a good thing anyway. So Sindhu river, Sindhavaha rivers. And here gudaha, gudaha here the plural word, it means nerves. Look at the nerves of the hearts as what? Rivers. And the rivers are Bhagavan Virat. You don't simply see the nerves of the hearts. Nerves of the hearts are alambanam for what? For all the rivers. Not only in Indian rivers, okay? Even all the rivers in the world. All the rivers. Which are manifestation of Virat. Virat. So, sindhavaha gudaha. Yakritcha. Klomanascha. Parvataha. Yakritcha. Klomanascha. One word. Okay. Yakritcha. Klomanascha. Yakrut and Klomanaha. Don't ask me why this Upanishad is using such a word, difficult word. Okay. Yakrut cha. Klomanaha cha. Yakrut cha Klomanas cha. Yakrut Klomanaha is a very, very new word. You haven't heard this word at all before. Which means the muscles around the heart. Not our heart. Okay. Heart of the hearts. Muscles around the heart are the flesh around the heart. Called Yakrit Kloman. And those flesh around the heart, known by the word Yakrit Klomanaha, stand for what? Parvataha, mountains. Oh my God, every mountain, which other culture they see like this? Have you ever seen, look at, were you able to see the mountain as Bhagavan? That is only in Veda they teach this. It's a Vedic. All the mountains, whichever part of the world they are, all the mountains are Virat, Bhagavan, manifestations of the Lord. And how do you see that now? You see all the mountain. You can't go and see every mountain. You see the, think of the flesh around the heart of the hearts and imagine, see that as all the mountains in the world, it is as good as seeing all the mountains. Then, Oshadhayascha. Oshadhayascha vanaspatayascha. See, Oshadhihi singular. Oshadhayaha plural. Oshadhihi, Oshadhi, Oshadhayaha means herbs, vegetation in general. All the plants, all the herbs. Oshadhayaha. Then, so what are the herbs? All the herbs are Virat Bhagavan. Vanaspatayaha. Vanaspatihi means tree. Vanaspatayaha, trees. All the herbs, all the plants. But here trees separately are mentioned. Trees. Now trees are Virat Bhagavan. All the herbs are Bhagavan. All every plant in this you see is what Bhagavan only here. That's why every weed is also what? Oshadhi. See, what is a highly valuable medicinal plant in India is seen as a weed in Italy and also in Australia. You know this, I don't know what it's called. I think Rataji was thinking. I was like a mad woman. I was collecting a lot of Manathakkali sedi. You know, I don't remember the botanical name of it. All over in Italy, both sides, and a big, big, huge. The fruits also were there. In India, my God, you know how valuable it is for us. Medicinal value is very good for, you know, all over. Both sides. I was crazy. I was going and plucking, you know, when I go for a walk in Italy, I brought it. But when I brought them back, they said nobody was born. Nobody bothered to look into it. Oh my God, it's all poisonous, Swamiji, throw away, they were saying. I felt so bad, I couldn't win because I was all one person, all of them were together. They allowed me to eat. I tell you, Saul, that was a black one. The same thing is here in Australia also. All over I see, and nobody, it's a weed here. In India, it's very highly, in Ayurveda, the doctor will recommend it. They'll open a nursing home if they come to know it, so much is available free here. Unfortunate thing, isn't it? Anyway, doesn't matter. People don't know. Now, why I want to say here, even a weed is what? Vanas, let's say, or everything, oshadhaya. You need not eat everything, but any oshadhi, any herb is also what? Bhagavan, Virat. Vanaspatayaha, all the trees. And what are they here? Lomani. Lomani means the hair, bodily hair. The hair on the horse's body symbolize, stand for all these trees and vanaspatayaha. And you have to first of all see that as one aspect of Bhagavan. See that as Ishvara. Then this, now that's visualize that here on the hair of the horse, isn't it? Lomani. Then Udyan. So Udyan means half verb that is. Udyan means rising. So gerund, rising. The present part is rising. Rising what? Rising sun. Udyan is equal to rising sun. The rising sun stands for Purvardha. Purvardha is symbolized by the Purvardha. Purva Ardha means half. The front half of the horse. The front half of the horse symbolizes the rising sun. You know why? Because when the sun rises, it rises from the eastern direction, isn't it? Therefore, the eastern side of the sea, it rises. Therefore, rising sun symbolizes what? Now here, symbolized by the Purvardha. Front half. Purvardha means the front half of the hearts symbolizes the rising sun, which stands for eastern direction, eastern side of the ocean. Then, Nimlochan. Nimlochan means setting sun. Stands for the western side of the ocean. Setting sun. Nimlochan. Jaganardaha. Jaganardaha means the back half. Front half and the back half of the, you see the horse's front half and the back half. The back half portion of the horse symbolizes the setting sun. Okay. Next, yad vijrumbhate. Vijrumbhate is a verb. Vijrumbhate is a simple present tense verb, which means yawns, yawning. So vijrumbhanam means yawning. And then, but here, it is not yawning. Shankara says, he gives a different meaning, a stretching of the body. Horse, you know, you never pay attention to the stretching of the body, isn't it? When the heart stretches, hearts also stretches its body. We all stretch, isn't it? Early in the morning, get up from the bed, you all stretch. So here, when the heart stretches its body, it's called what now? Vijrumbhanam. And that stands for what now? Lightning. Vidyotate. Vidyotate means, now lightning happens. Shines. Vidyotate means shines. And the shining stands for lightning. See, just look at, imagine, lightning is one natural phenomenon. And have you ever thought of seeing the lightning as the God? No. And lightning is what? One of the aspects of Virat, the gross manifestation, Bhagavan. Therefore, that lightning is symbolized by what? When the heart is stretching its body, that becomes the alambanam for seeing the lightning. Vijrumbhate stretches. So, stretching of the body of the heart symbolizes the lightning. Vidyotanam. Vidyotate is a verb. Vidyotate shines. And vidyotanam means lightning. Then, yad vidhunute. Vidhunute. Vidhunute means shakes. The heart shakes its body, isn't it? Shaking the heart, when the heart shakes its body, the shaking of the body of the heart symbolizes what? Tat stanayati. That is thunder. Stanayati means thunders. Stanayaha, stanana means actually thunder. When thunder happens, thunder is not just a thunder. Thunder is Bhagavan. Virat. Looking at every phenomenon as Ishvara. When thunder comes, see Bhagavan. Lightning comes, see Bhagavan. It rains, see Bhagavan. See the river, that is Bhagavan. See everything as Bhagavan. Okay. Stanayati. Then, yan mehati. Mehati. Mehati means the heart urinates. Pass urine. That stands for what? See, accept everything. Look at everything as natural thing, isn't it? Urinates. And that stands for what? Yatad varshati, rains. The raining, whenever rain happens, it's one phenomenon which is again Virat. What about rains? Rain comes means raining is Bhagavan. Means Virat. So varshati. Now, so you look at, see every small aspect of the hearts. And see it as one big, as one part, tiniest part of the heart is looked up, seen as the incomprehensible, huge aspect of the natural phenomenon, which is one of the aspects of manifold manifestations of the only Bhagavan. Truth. Now, Vageva Asya Vak. Vageva asya vak. Vak alone becomes vag in Jastu Shandi. Anyway. So vak is speech. And heart doesn't speak, okay? But the phenomenon called speaking, speech. The human beings speak. And every animal makes its own sound. The speech. The mode of communication, conveying one's ideas, speech, is what? Again, Virat, Bhagavan. Vak is Bhagavan. Speech is Bhagavan. And that speech symbolized by what? Symbolized by the heart, the noise made by the hearts. Vak gave a vak. The hearts is sound, sounds made by the hearts. Is a speech of the hearts, which symbolizes the very phenomenon called speech, speaking, which is also Virat. It's all very, so manifold aspects, every aspect, every phenomenon is one of the many aspects of Ishvara, every aspect of Ishvara, which is itself is incomprehensible. And imagine all of them put together is what? Ishvara, the whole. Impossible, isn't it? And you take this horse. And horse is what? hearts itself, one of the beings which form part of the universe, which is Ishvara. This way, hearts is Ishvara, cow is Ishvara, snake is Ishvara, everything is Ishvara here. All the living beings are Ishvara, non-living things are Ishvara. Everything is Virat. Everything and anything and everything which experience in your waking state is Bhagavan Virat. And the non-living things are also Virat. Not the living beings. That's why we say mountains. No, rivers. Everything is Ishvara. And this is the idea conveyed when we have Golu. No, Golu? South Indian people know. I don't know how to say it in Hindi. Shankar, what is the word of Hindi? No, Golu, no? Gujarati, no? No, Gujarati? Okay. See, it's a miniature universe, okay? Golu is something where we keep all forms of small ties. And whatever has come in the market, latest, newly in the market, will also have a place in that. A small. And made in China, which I don't like, okay? But made in China. it will break in 1 or 2 days, but still we had to preserve it. All clay and then all forms of things we have. And it is a miniature universe. So you can't go and do arati for Bhagavan, you know. You can't go and do prashna Bhagavan. So keep a Golu and do one small arati, which means you are doing namaskaram to Bhagavan in the form of the entire universe, Virat. It's a symbolic. Ashva Upasanam is Vedic. Golu is non-Vedic, post-Vedic, okay? Golu is what? Post-Vedic. Which means we have a miniature universe. And before we have Gavaskar's as a cricketer, a small tiny toy. Nowadays, Gavaskar has gone. All new toys have gone. Now, what I want to say here, everything, the latest players, artist players have come and they replaced the old toys. What I want to say, everything what you have now is Ishvara. That's why we have miniature. I wish I was in London to organize it this time. I'm not there. Anyway, I want to do it. Okay. So here, what I want to say, every phenomenon is an aspect of Ishvara, which is Virat. And that is incomprehensible. Therefore, we have a small tiny thing, is take it, and you see that the whole in one small thing. How to seeing the whole in the fraction deliberately is called Upasanam. I told you this last time. Last time I mentioned it. If you see the stone as a stone, it is knowledge, jnanam. There's no confusion. If you see rope as a snake, if you see the rope as a rope, it is jnanam. If you see the rope as a snake, not knowing the rope as no rope being rope, it is ajnanam, ignorance. But deliberately, if you see the stone as Bhagavan, it is upasanam. Knowing the stone as a stone, still you worship it with a different vision of seeing it as Ishvara. It is Upasanam. That's why it's called what? Nikrishta Vastuni Utkrishta Vastunaha Aropaha. But what is Upasanam? Nikrishta Vastuni Utkrishta Vastunaha Aropaha. It's a definition. Utkrishta Vastu means something exalted is called Utkrishta Vastu. And something very, very, very ordinary thing is called Nikrishta Vastu. And some Nikrishta Vastuni, in fact, cow dung we take. Cow dung, you won't even touch, okay? You'll run away from cow dung. No, I don't think cow dung, have you ever seen cow dung at all from people? Cow dung we take and it is like, no, hold it like this. Make one cube of cow dung and we go worship it as Ganapati. So knowing it is a made of cow dung, it doesn't even have an I or C, anything. The cow dung, and they'll put also one, you know, this a big, they put chandan kumkum and all that, and a cow dung. And they see, knowing it is a cow dung, deliberately they see it as Ganapati. God. That's called Upasana. Okay? So, Nikrishta was the cow dung. Oh my God. You know? And then that is seen as Utkrishta was the Bhagavan, the whole, which symbolizes the whole, the Lord of all groups of beings, Ganapati. It's called Nikrishta Vastuni Utkrishta Vastunaha Aropaha. This is Upasana. Okay. Now, let us go to the next also. Okay, one few more things. Aharva, aharva. See next mantra now. Next mantra in the Prathamam, first section. First section has two mantras and the section is called Brahmanam. Second mantra, aharva, ashvam, purastan, mahima. See, ahaha means day. See, in performing the Ashwamedha Yaga, they use, when this Ashwamedha Yaga is performed, they bring these hearts nicely decorated, sanctified, and they keep it in one place. How hearts is standing. In front of the hearts, at the back of the hearts, they keep two containers made of gold and silver. Okay? The golden container they keep in the front, silver container they keep at the back. And these two special containers made of gold and silver, placed respectively in the front and the back of the hearts, are known as Mahima. See, Mahima, the word Mahima literally in conventional language, it means greatness. Mahima means what? Greatness. Mahatmyam, greatness. But here the word Mahima is used to what now? Mahima means name given to the containers. The golden container and the silver container and kept in the front and the back of the hearts, which is the hearts which has been brought for, which is brought, kept for worship during the Ashwamedha Yaga. And here that Purastan Mahima, that golden container made of the gold kept in the front of the hearts stands for day. Ahaha. Why? Because he says, what is the source, what is the origin of the day? Where does the day originate? Where does the day originate? See, we look at the rising of the sun as the origination of the day, isn't it? How do we look at it? When the sun rises from the eastern direction of the eastern side of the ocean, then eastern side of the ocean is taken to be what now? Is the source of origination of the sun, the day. Because sun rises from the east, therefore origination of the day, the eastern side of the ocean is taken to be the origination of the day, source of the beginning of the day. Then the setting of the sun is taken to be the origination of the night. When the sun sets, we call it a night. And where does the sun set? In the western side of the ocean. Therefore, eastern side of the ocean, where the sun rises, is taken to be the origination of the day. And the western side of the ocean, where the sun sets, is taken to be the origination of the night. And this Mahima, silver Mahima, stands for the origination of this, the origination of the night. And golden Mahima stands for origination of the day. Not the day, origination of the day. Lot of imagination has gone in. Lot of patience you must have also. Golden container kept in the front of the heart stands for the origination of the day, which is the eastern side of the ocean. And the western side of the ocean, which is said to be the origination of the night, is symbolized by the silver container kept at the back of the horse. Okay, that's what is said here. Mahiman vajayata. Mahima anu ajayata. That's why anvajayata. Tasya purve samudre yoni ratrihi. Purve samudre means what? Eastern side of the ocean. Purve means eastern side of the ocean. Where the sun rises is taken to be the origination of the day, and that is symbolized by the golden container. And then yoni ratrihi. Yoni means origination here. Enam paschan mahima anvajayata. And the western side of the ocean, where the sun sets, is taken to be the origination of the night. And the origination of the night is symbolized by this silver container. So here ends the Upasana aspect is over here. Okay, not only the hearts, we also included the containers kept in the front and the back of the hearts. Now with this, we know what is taken, the whole Virat. We have seen many aspects of Virat and we visualize them in these one hearts. Now later on, now comes the glory of the hearts. I just said, this hearts is, where is this hearts? What is origination of the hearts? You know, hearts, the samudraha. Samudre yonihi, tasya apare samudre yonihi. A hearts has the greatness. Hearts is the samudra, ocean is the origination of the hearts. Hearts is born of the ocean. In Purana we have story that when these Deva Hasuras really churned the ocean, and there came what? The hearts originated from the ocean. They say. And one more thing. So the here hearts itself stands for Virat. And ocean is also called Ishvara. You know why? You need to know Sanskritam here. Samutpadya, samut vishayaha, vishayaha, samutpadya asmin dravanti. I cannot help. Okay, you have to know why samudraha is called samudraha. Vishayaha, Bhagavan is also called ocean, samudraha. And why ocean also called samudraha? Know why? Because samutpadya asmin dravanti iti samudraha. It does understand why ocean is called samudraha. It's a karana pair. We can't explain English. Is there any reason why ocean is called ocean? Only Osho was saying some meaning. Why he calls himself Osho, this is, he gives some meaning, funny meaning, that I don't want to get into that. I'm interested in that. But ocean, why ocean is called ocean? I don't know Greek and Latin. I don't know the roots. But in English, we can't explain. But in Sanskritam, we can say why Samudraha is called Samudraha. Because Samutpadya Tarangaha Asmat Samutpadya Asmin Dravanti iti Samudraha. Where the waves originate and that in which the originated waves resolve is called ocean, Samudraha. Similarly, Bhagavan is also called Samudraha. Why? Because Vishayaha Samutpadya Asmin Dravanti iti Samudraha. All these objects, all these elements and elementals originate from the truth and resolve in the very Bhagavan. Therefore, where do they come in, originate from? They come into existence and they exist and resolve in the Ishvara. Therefore, Bhagavan is also called Samudraha. The Lord is called Samudraha. Vosh is also called Samudraha. And this horse has ocean as its origin, means what? Ishvara as its origin. Understand? See, the Purana story will not understand otherwise. Now, it is said, this horse is really glorified. Why? Because being horse, hayaha bhutva, Devan avahat, this horse really carried all forms of beings. Devan avahat, it carried the celestials, devas. And then, Vaji, Gandharvan. It also carried Gandharvas, celestial beings. Asuran avahat, ashvaha. It also carried Avahat means carried, it served as a carrier of devas, gandharvas, and also asuras, and also manushyan. Manushyan avahat. It served as a carrier, carried all forms of beings, manushyaha, devaha, gandharvaha, and asuraha. And he said, samudraha eva asya banduhu. Banduhu here means, and ocean is its, this banduhu literally means relative. But here it means sustainer. Ocean is the sustainer of the hearts. And ocean is the source of origination. And ocean is that where everything resolves. Okay? Which means you leave it now. You look at this. Virat Ishvara is given the title Samudraha here. Why? Because why? That in which everything originates from and that in which everything resolves. And the word Banduhu stands for that in which all the beings are sustained. The sustainer of everything is Ishvara. The one in whom everything resolves is also Ishvara. That from which everything originates also is Ishvara. The source of origination, sustenance, existence and resolution is Ishvara. Which means there is no universe which exists outside of Ishvara. This idea is also conveyed here. But with this, the Prathamam Brahmanam is over. Okay, Samudraha Yonihi means Samudra is the source of resolution and source of origination. Samudra is the bandh, so Samudraha is the source of existence. And Samudraha stands for Ishvara, the Lord. Don't take it literally as ocean here. Ocean here, actually, the word Samudraha means Ishvara. Okay. So with this, Prathama Brahmanam is over. And Upanishad, we only seen which part of the heart should be seen as which aspect of Ishvara. We only seen that much in this portion. So Pratha Brahmanam is over. Now, from Shankar Bhagavatpada's commentary, we understand this upasanam will be effective only if it is practiced along with the practice of Agni Upasanam, which is going to be discussed in the next Brahmanam, next section. And there also Agni is the Alambanam, like Ashva. In the place of Ashva, we are going to have Agnihi. And the, again, Virat, Agni Upasanam is also what? Another Virat Upasanam. Like Ashva Virat Upasanam, now we are going to see the same Virat in Agni. It's Agni Upasanam. And Shankara says, only if you understand both, only if a person practices both the Upasanams, he can enjoy the benefit of this, the practice of this meditation, Virat Upasana. So which we'll see that in the next class. Only when you do the next two, Agni Upasana comes in the next section, next Brahmanam. And then the third Brahmanam comes, we have another Upasana, Prana Upasana. And that's all. And you have to remember, we are, these upasanams are discussed here as a sadhanam. And we are also going to see the sadhyam, the benefit of the practicing these upasanams also. And both means and the ends, upasanams and the results stand for what? The universe. And what is, which means universe taking the universe as real is what? Adhyaropaha. You should forget that. We are only understanding this, discussing the upasanam just to understand that how we accept the universe as real. Our Upanishad accepts our perception of universe being real, which is called adhyaropaha. This we should not forget. See, one more thing I want to tell you here. Even before going for contemplation, actually, even before even arriving at the subtlest reality and dwelling upon it as one's own Swarupam, first of all, the grossest mind has to become subtle enough to be contemplative. And for it, mind has to expand, seeing that from this, seeing this, this is the one of the ways of when you see the whole as Ishvara, and you see yourself being part of the whole, and that there again, whatever. This is how ahankara, the bloated, strong ahankara, gross ahankara becomes thin, slim beauty and ahankara. Isn't it? Only then resolving will be easy. Therefore, that's why it's like upasana also prescribed. Anyway, this is not the time for me to talk about that idea. Upasanam is, we are not interested in upasanam now. We are only seeing the upasanams as part of the universe, means and ends. And which is universe, therefore adhyaropa here. Not for upasanam purpose, we are seeing it here. But still I wanted to mention that to you. Anyway. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.